Loving in truth and action. Loving in truth and action. How many times have you heard the words, "I love you"? How many times have you wondered whether or not the words were in fact sincere? How many incidents in your past have proven to be not love at all, but something else? What is the power of your word versus the results of your actions when it comes to the topic of love? We all know about domestic violence and how serious it is and can be. And some of us have closer experiences with it than others. There are many who have a connection with domestic violence that may have started when they started dating back in high school or earlier. They witnessed it as children in their homes, or may have been the victims of it as children. For others, these challenging experiences may have started later in life. But one thing is clear, and that this type of behavior is never acceptable whenever it happens. One of the common elements in all of this is that there is a wish, desire, something about love. Love that's hoped for, love that's verbalized but not realized. Love that actually keeps folks in those situations, and it might be fear of pain or whatever that they're calling love. But it brings up the question of why. Why do they stay in these relationships? What is the glue that holds them in place and bound to this harmful situation? Why is there an appeal to such a negative relationship? All in the name of love. Well, there's no single answer, and there are many reasons that victims will present for their being there. What must be realized is that in many ways we are all victims of some form of withholding love. In a similar fashion, although it may not be as pronounced as domestic violence, we are all victims of being love starved, deprived, or taking it to the other extreme, being overly loved with no accountability, being overly loved with a one-way street type of interaction. And we have to be responsible for that. We have to be responsible for the operating context that actually misuses and misguides how love is demonstrated. Even though there may not be physical abuse, there's an emotional void. There's something missing in these expressions of love that affect us all. Often we may not love, or we may not see the love fully that we want or deserve, but we go with the love we get because, well, for now it's good enough. It doesn't hurt so much. It's not a lot of work. We may not be in an abusive relationship, but we still suffer from the scars of emotional abuse or psychological abuse, abandonment, or even the vestiges of isolation, all in the name of love. We may not have physical scars, but there are these injuries on a felt level, injuries on an emotional level. We all have them. And some of us might be even suffering from unrequited love. That's suffering from giving the love one way that one may want and not receiving a commensurate type of love expression in return. Providing others with an experience of love without commensurate acts in return, that has an impact. There's a lack of acknowledgement of where the love that's being given is deserving of some acknowledgement, some recognition. But we live in a world where there's an unbalanced distribution of love. And in a world where there is such a profound need for love, unfortunately, the environment that we live in devours gestures of love as if they have no meaning. Positive, powerful gestures of love are often just swept up, taken for granted, as if folks are entitled to it with no need for a commensurate or an equal return. We hear about love in many a song or recited in many poems, and yet we are hard-pressed to be able to actually point to real-life situations that demonstrate that love. We are hard-pressed to actually describe it. The verbal declarations of love are far more present than the demonstrations of love. The verbal declarations of love are far more present than the demonstrations of love. Love is like a person that we may have heard a lot about, but we're hard-pressed to actually give a description of that person. It's almost like a missing person without a description. We don't know what it looks like in action because we have so compromised the integrity of what love looks like. We become so self-centered and ego-driven that when love presents itself as a gift, we look for, is that all there is? Where's the rest? As if love presented in its entirety or as a gesture is insufficient. Because we are so self-absorbed and ego-driven, we can't see the love that's surrounding us. There's an inherent entitlement attitude that it just doesn't allow us to see the gestures of love that are presented to us. And it's not just one or two times, it's a repeated experience in life. It's as simple as something like someone holding a door and not offering a thank you or acknowledgement going through, all the way up to someone receiving a fabulous, expensive gift as a surprise, and then looking for something more. Acting as if one is saying, is that all there is? This entitlement attitude is literally killing us and each other, all in the name of love. In the scripture for today, 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, it talks about love not in words or in speaking, but in truth and in action. Not the verbalized aspects of love, but love in truth and in action. And in a funny way, it's like, how well do we know the words to our favorite love song? Well, we know them quite well. We sing along with those songs all the time. And then the question becomes, how long has it been since your last act of demonstrating powerful love? I would offer for your consideration and reflection that there's probably a mismatch between how long it's been since you demonstrated that love versus how well you know the words. You see, we are more familiar with the words than we are with the acts. We're more familiar with the speaking of it rather than the being of it. If we were to allow our being to be totally consumed by the expression of love, we would not be able to stand ourselves because those folks would be so attracted to how they were lifted up in that space. Nothing to do with us, but how they are lifted up in that space. That's the expression of love. That's what that provides. It's time to demonstrate the love we talk about and dream about. We have to take it out of the context of a conversation. We are called upon to demonstrate that love, not because it's a nice thing to do, but more importantly, because it's the Christian thing to do. It may have been a while since your last gesture of love. And it's not just romantic love or relation. No. It's, first of all, acknowledging and loving yourself, not in terms of the material, but in terms of the gestures, the acts. It's time to give up our self-centered ways, our ego-driven ways. If an accounting were to be taken of love in your life, do you give more love out than you receive? And then the question might become, do you receive the love you deserve? Some might answer, their love that's received is greater than what they deserve. In a funny way, that's a demonstration of mercy. Is love provided to others greater than they deserve? Now, the whole deserving aspect consideration is actually imposing a judgment that one doesn't deserve it, or they're not good enough, or they are, beneath all of that. Love without conditions. Oh, unconditional love. Imagine that. Is a powerful demonstration of just giving love freely. Do you get more love than you give? Do you use the measures of Christian love to account for the love in your life? When you do a gratitude exercise for those things for which you're grateful, are you grateful for the love you demonstrate? Loving in truth and in action, as it says in the scripture, it's just that. Loving in truth is loving just as Christ would love. Loving in action is demonstrating that love to the world, such that you get back all of that same love that you're distributing. That is loving in truth and in action. God bless.